Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
November 16, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the show that I'm trying to do and you were looking for. So, about 15 minutes late onto the live stream, but here we are. It is Woden's Day Wednesday, and God knows what's going to come of this. In the second hour, we have Joseph L. Flatley, author, journalist, the guy behind Failed State Update, at least one half of that team over there, J.G. Michael being the other half. Last I checked, I don't know, maybe things have changed. A recent article starting a weird email chain for me, where he says in the headline that Alex Jones actually has a cult now. I don't know if that's news, but I guess we'll find out with Joseph L. Flatley in the second hour. First hour, we had a guy named Reptile scheduled, and not sure what happened there. We are live and loud, though, and I picked up regular Joe out of the chat room. And a little bit of confusion and all that, but hell, we can do 45 minutes talking about whatever. And who knows, maybe we'll cover some news or non-news, or I'll get Joe's view on the recent announcement at Mar-a-Lago. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe we'll go into other subjects and dimensions like we did last time. Who knows? Regular Joe back for a second time in less than a week. Or maybe it is a week. Anyway, whatever it was, the week that was, and who knows what it actually is on the calendar anyway. And what the hell, man? How you doing? It's Wednesday. Woden's Day, last I checked. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chuck. Glad to be back with you, and I'm actually 1 hour short of exactly a week because we were 15 minutes late when I came on last week on Wednesday.
Nice. Nice. One thing that keeps happening on Wednesdays is lateness. Well,
your first guest had a lot more to say than I did.
Well, last time, right? Anyway, it is what it is.
I can sum up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can sum up my thoughts on that whole Mar-a-Lago thing in the classic regular Joe shortest way possible. You ready?
Probably not, but good. That was it?
That was it.
All right.
Just, who cares?
Well, I know the mainstream media people are definitely licking their chops, getting ready to roll. They are happier than happy can be. That's for sure. You know why? Because they've got a whole new season of Coronavirus Apprentice to present to the public. And who's going to get fired this time? You know, he can't bring Smoky Stink Eye Sanders back as his press secretary, even if he gets in the White House, because she's the governor of Arkansas now. You know that, right?
Oh, isn't that... That's befitting. That's just one more reason that I don't want to go to Arkansas.
Okay, fair enough. But here we are. Yeah, I mean, you remember her, right? I'm here to support Donald Trump. I absolutely believe everything he says. And you people are just not listening to me as I speak. That's my Sarah Sanders impression. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
She's got more bass than that long-bearded guy from the Oak Ridge Boys, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like if we shaved away the surviving member of ZZ Top that has the beard, they might look very similar if we shave away the beard. Just guessing, though. I mean, it's a guess, right? No offense to Dusty Hill, but...
Right. Yeah, and Billy Gibbons. Billy Gibbons is the surviving one. Dusty Hill has left us, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. That's true, and unfortunate all the way around, because ZZ Top was something special, man. Anyway.
They really were. Now, I had this metalhead couple. Actually, male of that couple was my first guitar player in the first band I was ever in, and he was just a total metalhead. Mm-hmm. Went to see ZZ Top. That it was the best live show that he ever saw, and he didn't even like ZZ Top. So,
yeah,
you know, that's special.
I saw him on that, what was it, the Afterburner tour, I think it was, where they had the ZZ Top car, you know, the iconic car, was a space shuttle on the album cover, that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? The hit single, I think, was Rough Boy out of that sucker. Right?
Oh, that was the Eliminator tour then, right?
No. Eliminator, they still had the car, and that was way earlier. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I get the two confused because, you know, the Ford Coupe, it's iconic, and it was on both in different versions.
Oh, yeah, but they turned it into a space shuttle on the tour that I saw, and I think it was called Afterburner. The single, one of the big singles from it was a ballad of sorts, Rough Boy. I don't know if you remember.
I actually liked that song. Still do.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I saw them doing that. And, of course, they did just about every song off of the Eliminator album, too. So, great stuff. I mean, everything from, and I appreciated all of it, even though some of it's a little silly, like TV Dinner is a little silly. But, you know, and every girl crazy about a sharp-dressed man, you know. How can you not dig that? Live.
You can't forget LaGrange. My favorite ZZ Top song, hands down.
Oh, yeah. But that's an earlier album, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's Trace Ombres.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I think that, isn't that the same one that has Just Got Paid and Got a Pocket Full of Change on it, right?
I think so. I mean, that one's probably my favorite album of theirs.
Mm. Good stuff. But, I mean, you know, as far as, like, overly used music, Legs. Was another song off of the Eliminator album. Let's see, Give Me All Your Lovin', I think, was on the Eliminator album as well. Right?
It sounds right. Like I said, though, I always mix up Afterburner and Eliminator. They were pretty close together in the mid-80s, I do believe.
Yeah, somewhere.
MTV era, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you Gen Zs that might be listening, you don't know what I mean.
Well, even when they talk about the iconic years of MTV, it's funny, they don't usually mention ZZ Top, but ZZ Top videos played constantly. And there was a couple of them that were almost exactly the same video. The nerdy guy or nerdy girl, you know, gets dressed up, you know, rock and roll sexy for the time. And then all of a sudden things change and the sexy girls get out of the ZZ Top car. And ZZ Top is just playing on the roadside, spinning their guitars, right?
Yep. Big fuzzy guitars at that.
Oh, yeah. Big fuzzy guitars and legs, right?
It was just great stuff with their trench coats and all. I mean, nobody else was really like ZZ Top. They were special.
Right. And so cool that they could be in that, what was that, the third Back to the Future movie, right, where they go back to the Old West. And
they were spinning the fuzzy guitars in that too.
Yeah, but they're dressed for stage usually in the 80s matched perfectly with the Old West though. You know, it was nice with the hats.
Yeah, it really did with the, you know, the Texas hats and the trench coats. Yeah, I mean, it worked perfectly. That was brilliant of old Spielberg, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
while we're on the rock subject and the MTV subject and sexy girls before we move on, there was an artist during that time that put out a video, and I was not overly crazy about the artist, but it's probably my favorite video of the entire era, Billy Idol's Rock the Cradle of Love.
Really?
Oh, the adolescence that I remember from that.
Right. Hey, and you know what? I did announce that Lenny Flatley will be with us, Joseph L. Flatley, that is, directly in the second hour, but it turns out he's had to cancel due to a family emergency. So, interesting busted Wednesday. So Joe, we're gonna ramble on for a little bit and, go wherever we go. What the hell? And, we'll make a podcast out of it. I got a bunch of stuff to drop on the podcast feed anyway. So, we'll just drop this as a special extra. And, I don't know, we'll just do whatever the hell comes to mind. And speaking of that, just so you guys know, if you're listening live, I have the phone lines open, 319-527-5016, and we'll just let this organically become what it is. How about that? So look, man, you were talking to me about this documentary series, and quite honestly, I haven't gotten a chance to see it. And a friend of mine just sent me a nice bootleg copy of a new movie, so... I'm going to be watching the one new movie I wanted to see in a theater but couldn't get to it. So that's something I'm going to be watching. But I might have to tune to this documentary thing that you were talking about that you saw on the Peacock, oddly enough. And I never really got a good sense of what it was about. You want to tell us about this thing that has definitely grabbed a hold of some dirty parts of your mind, it looks like?
Yeah, it was called Shadowland, and it was all about conspiracy theory and how it's run completely wild at this point, you know, with especially with the Q phenomenon. And, oh, man, that just makes me want to puke every time I mention that. It really does. But because I have so little faith in our species anyway, that when I see a conspiracy theory like QAnon pop up and people buy it, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why in the world would you believe that? Mm. Why? And not only that, not only the conspiracy theory run amok, but it showed a couple of characters on there that I really don't want to name, that were just totally exploiting people for it and just raking in the dollars.
Mm.
And well, it just made me sad.
Did this docuseries feature Alex Jones at all?
Somewhat. And I will drop a name because he was Alex Jones' toady and may still be. Zach Voorhees was on it.
Oh, wow. Okay, there's a deep cut.
Hmm. Yeah, he was on it. And I will drop one more just because he just seemed like such a sleaze to me. And I'll mention something about him that I saw on there that was absolutely hilarious. Christopher Key calls himself the vaccine police.
Wow, man. This is really interesting because they went kind of deep, the Peacock did here. I mean, the low-hanging fruit, especially as of late due to the lawsuits and everything, has been Alex Jones. And certainly they're tying it to the Trumposphere and how, you know, Donald's got his own conspiracy theories about the, you know, the selection process. And, you know, he says he's going to make America glorious once again, by the way, now. He's
great
gone.
And glorious. Yeah. Magaga. Yeah. It made me gag.
Well, definitely. Yeah, and he announced, apparently the other day, I didn't see the announcement because I think I was live on air at the time, that he's going to run for sure, as if we needed an announcement to know it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's definitely acquired a nickname for you know, our governor of Florida, right? So he's De Sanctimonious now instead of DeSantis. Yeah. You know, going a long way. I'm impressed that he could use a word like sanctimonious, but either way,
I bet he doesn't know what it means.
Oh, I'm certain that he doesn't truly grasp it, but even that he could utter it consistently is, you know, impressive for him.
Spell it. He actually spelled it
correctly. So, I doubt he's the one spelling it, but you know, still, there are people managing some of that stuff. By the way, I mean, I know it seems crazy, but there are people that are taking
it earlier,
taking their marching orders from this guy. And it's too funny because I'm also watching. Mike Pence has come out now and said, you know, we need to move on from Donald Trump and get back to real conservatives like me. You know.
I saw that interview and I almost wanted to tip my hat to that slime ball because he finally actually broke, but he did it in such a sissy way. You know, throw a pair, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, that's not possible. He's going back and forth though, trying to like, you know, tip his hat to the Trumpian cult and, maintain his position as I'm really the true old-fashioned conservative as well. He's trying to do both. And again, it's funny because him and a bunch of guys that were, you know, briefly part of Trump's cabinet, you know, during that whole revolving door that went on, have come out and been like, oh, I'm actually a Reagan Republican and this and that, and we need to get back to sensible government. And all these people would never have been invited in to the positions of power that they were in had it not been for the man-child idiot bringing them in. I mean, do you think Mike Pence, I mean, literally, when I saw Pence debate, who was it that ran? I don't know. It was the other white guy. I mean, and I mean white guy. It was like watching mayonnaise and paper plates fight in a jar of mayonnaise, the whiteness between him and the other vice presidential candidate, you know, back during the first selection that Trump, you know, was put into place, installed after, right? But those two, it was so boring that I literally could not retain anything from it. It was like, literally, I got on air and I'm like, you know, I watched the vice presidential debate and I actually don't have commentary for you because I couldn't remain focused. I couldn't stay awake, intellectually. Yeah.
I don't even recall it. That's what's crazy. But you just reminded me of Major Payne, like white on rice and a paper plate, a glass of milk and a snowstorm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just throw in some Hellmann's and you got it. That's exactly what happened. And I just watched it and I'm like, these are the two most boring, bland, exemplars of white men I've ever seen. And they're on a stage vying to be one heartbeat away from, being the freeder, the leader of the free world. The freeder of the Lee world. Why not? It was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. But these guys, like Esper and, you know, all these other guys would never have been elevated to these positions of power that they were in. Now they're coming back out on talk shows and being talking heads, and they're saying, well, you know, we should get back to some real conservatism for now. You know, sort of like the conservatism that existed with Lindsey Graham, who is definitely constantly shifting his allegiance and vying for, you know, please let me suckle at the teat of the great power. One way or another, and oh, by the way, I will.
That sounds exactly like Rand Paul.
Some people still have faith in that.
Ooh, I still have such a hatred for Rand Paul. I think as long as I live, I'll despise hearing his name.
See, and
however,
I want to know why.
Why? Because first of all, he went for the nomination in 2015 against his orangeness, and just talked about how he was unqualified. He couldn't do the job. He didn't know enough about it, which all of that was correct. But as soon as Donald Trump got the nomination, his lips attached to his ass and just never came off and just started singing his praises. You know, so look, dude, I know what you're doing. Okay. You're too obvious. How in the world are you keeping your seat when you're that obvious? You know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I do have to tip my hat to a member of Kentucky government. And sincerely, Mr. Governor Andy Beshear. Uncle Andy, as he's known affectionately in Kentucky.
Uncle Andy.
Yeah. He just signed an executive order to legalize medicinal cannabis in Kentucky.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Well,
yeah, and I watched his speech, and it's not so much the legislation, because everybody knows it's a political football, and 90% of Kentucky say that it's right. So every poll says that 90% of Kentuckians say that it's right to legalize. I'm for decriminalization myself. Legalization is just taxation, but they're still in control. But it's a step in the right direction, and it's not so much the legislation that makes me tip my hat to him anyway. It was his speech.
Okay.
Andy Beshear carries himself so levelly. I mean, when he was speaking, there was no hyperbole. There was no rhetoric. Just good Kentucky horse sense. And that works in Kentucky, because Kentucky has always classically, historically been neither here nor there. And he just made such excellent points. And he did it in just such a calm, very calm manner. And I was impressed. I mean, he's wearing a blue tie, so, you know, I'm not going to sing his praise as much, but you know what? Good for you, man. It was the right move.
So a throwback to what almost looks like sensible government is what you're telling me this guy is, which makes him a rare a commodity at the moment, right?
Very rare. Very rare. And I think that Mr. DeSantis in Florida handles himself much in the same way, but not exactly. He's a little more dramatic than old Uncle Andy is.
He's got a little more flair.
Andy wasn't dramatic at all. I mean, one of the best points that he made, and I'm not going to quote directly, but one of the best quotes that he came up with, he said, Illinois, it's legal. And in West Virginia, it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going from Illinois to West Virginia through the state of Kentucky, you're a criminal at that time, and it's not right.
Mm-hmm. So again, common sense, right? Like, why is it that we made ourselves the criminal zone?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And just he also said people are leaving Kentucky to go to places where they can use it legally, and they're not coming back.
Well,
he's right.
I bet that's true. And the funny thing is, you know, again, when you see this happen, and it just starts to happen because of the proximity of one place to another, I mean, it's just the sensible thing to do. How do you have a, you know, a go-between area that, again, like he says, you become a criminal once you cross a certain invisible line, and then, you know, you drive long enough, you're no longer a criminal again. That's
right.
You know, I mean, after a while, you got to sort of just say, look, you know, whether it's decriminalization or legalization, as you said, legalization is just taxation and the opportunity for greater corporate entities to inject themselves into a circumstance where they're going to do what? They're going to muck things up. I mean, it's just the way of it. You know, so I know I'm not for legalization. I'd rather see decriminalization, like you said. But either way, a step in the right direction. And usually somehow this has been the incremental step. I don't like it, but it has been the step that has logically led to, you know, in the state of New Jersey, you now have a situation where, okay, we were for the medical, then we go, and now it's, you know, well, it's somewhat decriminalized, but now it's completely decriminalized, you know, within certain limits. You can't right. have bales it's, of this stuff, but, you know.
Bashir's put limits on it as well, but he also said that he expects Kentucky legislators to further the measure and go fully medically legal with it after the first of the year.
Well, again, the sensible incremental approach. So yes. you can't argue with pragmatic approaches to things like this, right? I mean, it's just it's the way to go, and it's the way that things have gone in other places. So it makes sense. If it worked here, it might work there. You know, very simple.
Yeah, and it's also what the voters want. Let's not forget that, you know, he is a politician, and he is looking out for number one first, but he listened.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. On the other hand, are you not there to serve the will of the people? This is always my argument with, you know, people say, well, I don't like, he's for this, he's for that, but here's the deal. If the majority of people that this person has been hired to represent agree with a certain stance, you know, it's not even his place to interject his own personal crap into it. He should just do what it is that, you know, within reason, obviously, what it is that the will of the people suggests. I mean, how do you argue with that? I don't get it, you know.
I don't think you can sensibly. You know, I just really don't. Right. There's no sensible argument, and it's on YouTube. I actually went and watched a live stream, which is something I never do, but I really had to see that, and I'm glad I watched it because it kind of impressed me with our governor. I mean, as far as I can be impressed with somebody that's in a public office.
No, fair enough. And we may be joined by Captain Trips in about 20 minutes. So, you know, there'll be more discussion of this kind of thing and a greater discussion maybe of DeSantis in the, you know, in about 20 minutes. Because the captain has moved to what he calls DeSantistan. You know, kind of placing a bit of faith in that particular, line of thought and that guy being a leader who, again, is answering to the will of the people apparently in Florida. So, you know, I don't know, man. Yeah, it is. It is an odd thing. You know, and we just watched this, great red wave that was supposed to happen, not really happen. Although it did.
Wasn't even pink.
Well, I don't know. It might have been pink because they do have control of the House now. That has been established.
Did they get it?
Yeah. The House, but not the Senate.
Thin, though, right?
Hmm?
It was razor thin though, right?
Well, not razor thin. The mainstream is trying to represent it as razor thin, but it's not a, you know, a huge overwhelming majority. But it is a majority, which means, you know, Pelosi is fired as Speaker of the House as soon as they turn over. And, you know, we may indeed have a Kevin McCarthy speaker. But it's going to be interesting because a lot more power will now reside with the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world because their vote is going to be important to hold things together, you know? It's not like they can avoid the extremist part of the party. So that's going to be interesting in the House. Yeah.
There's something wrong with that woman. You can just see it in her eyes. I think it's that they're too small and they sit too close together.
Well, okay. Could be. It's not.
And then she opens her mouth and proves it, you know, so.
Yeah, but again, reselected by the people in her area of Georgia once again. So she's going back. You know, she wasn't a one term and disappear phenomena. So, you know, Georgia's an interesting place too. And regardless of what happens with this runoff, we still have the basically the split Senate again. So
And Lauren Boebert held on in Colorado too, did she not?
You know, I saw a thing where maybe she did, maybe she didn't, but I think she did, finally, yeah. I lost interest. I gotta be honest with you. I started losing interest, as it just came out that, you know, there wasn't gonna be this overwhelming majority, that was gonna sweep in. I was a little surprised by that, cause I really thought that at the very least, and that tells you something, by the way, because majority of people that I encounter blame the, you know, the blue side right now, the Democratic side, for the financial mess we're in. Now, do I think that's right? No, but do I think that's the only way that most people are going to see it? Yes. So it's weird that people are going, look, I'm suffering and these people suck, but I'm still willing to give them at least part of a chance because the other side worries me, right? Enough yeah. that they didn't just throw them all out. I mean, that says something there. You're hurting anybody, you know, that's listening to this show, I'm sure. With very few exceptions, is hurting from the economic situation and is pointing the finger at Joe Biden and the people that are working on his side of the aisle. And yet, in some places, not by an overwhelming majority, but in some places, people are still willing to give the blue side of the equation a chance, despite the fact that they believe wholeheartedly that these are the people responsible for hurting them directly. Because they're afraid of what might happen if there is a grand red wave. You know, I mean, I don't know, yeah. man. It's a very weird situation. But this whole, the Democrats have held on to the Senate. Not really. You know, they've held on to the split, the very, very close split, which means, you know, a lot of difficulty for overwhelming majorities of anything getting done, because of the, very, very tight partisan nature of the Senate. But, yeah, I don't know how this bodes for the next 2 years. But it's a weird thing to have this going on. And, people, for the most part, seeming to stick with what they already had, even though the economic situation is hurting. There are disagreements with a lot of stuff. They're holding pretty much, even whether it was the red or blue candidate. They're like, you know what? Think we need to stick with what we have because we're worried about what'll come down the pike. One way or another.
Yeah.
So that
didn't
is,
we discuss yeah. during all of the COVID stimulus checks coming out that inflation would follow? Didn't we discuss that?
We did.
We probably even asked the question, who are they going to point the finger at when the grocery prices go up?
Exactly. And you
they're
and
not
I.
They're not going to blame that check they cashed. They're not going to blame that check that they cashed.
No, and it doesn't matter that, you know, if you remember very clearly, and I was just saying this to somebody the other day, if you remember very clearly, I mean, you know, Donald Trump insisted on putting his giant signature on one of those checks, and it had to be like that, even though there was a bit of a controversy about it, and then you got a letter in the mail afterwards, because I didn't get my check, but people that got a check, got a letter in the mail basically saying, you know, again, signed by Donald Trump, saying, you know, pretty much, aren't you happy that I sent you a check? So he was fully willing to take responsibility for a big stimulus payment. But yeah. as, you know, but as for whether something came of that afterwards, I mean, this all started under him and it continued under Biden, you know. But now, guess what? The bills are coming due. And we're paying for it all the way around with this massive inflation. And, you know, government's inability to figure out what to do. The Fed's response to it. All these things were logical results of what was laid out in the first place. As we said it would be. And... You know.
Wow, does it make you wish people would just listen?
Well, if they did and didn't just hear the parts that they really want to hear, which is the funny thing. You know, oh, you just hate Trump. That's all I hear. Okay. Sure.
Well, I do, but that's not at the root of it.
No, it's not. The point that I keep trying to make is that there's no difference, you know. And again, I pointed this out too. The people that are complaining about the FBI has gone rogue since, you know, Biden came in. Well, but they have the same director that they had under Trump. So what happened?
What do they mean gone rogue? Have these people never heard of J. Edgar Hoover?
I don't know. Cause they think it's just, you know, turned against Trump cause, you know, he's a big victim. That's another thing he said, by the way, in his little, by the way, I gotta, you know, air my grievances before I tell you the thing you already knew, which is I'm running in 2024, is that he literally said, I am a victim, you know, of the FBI and they're unfairly targeting me. And there are people out there going, I'm worried about the constitutional rights of the president. You know, it's hilarious that it's like, well, okay. Even if you think that there is no just cause for the FBI to have, you know, raided Mar-a-Lago and such, do you honestly think that any of this is new? And also, funny thing again, Christopher Wray is Trump's guy. You know, and just like the,
yeah.
The guy.
Forgot about that.
He's still there. You know, I know Merrick Garland is in charge and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, all right. But... It doesn't matter who they put in charge of the DOJ. It doesn't matter who the attorney general is, because the policing agency that you're worried about and you're saying has gone bad, you know, under Biden is still run by the same people. It's like the post office. Oh, the post office is screwed up under Biden. Well, that's funny because it was screwed up under Trump. And it's still the same postmaster general. DeJoy's still there. So... You know, you change out the cabinet secretary, sure, but the people that are heading the agencies, the people that are on the ground doing the work, same thing with all the border. You know, that's one of the things we got to do to make America glorious again is get a hold of this terrible situation that the Bidens have created at the border. They've effectively changed, like, no policies, pretty much. And they have pretty much the same group of people in there that Trump had. So, yeah, we're not being, you know, constantly barraged with the kids in cages. Remember that? We're not being barraged with that.
It's like the finger they're pointing is shaped like a boomerang.
Well, yeah, because they forget the kids in cages started with Obama anyway. And, I mean, there's me not putting the blame entirely on Trump, right? But now they don't show you the kids in cages. I assure you that's still happening. Because they didn't change much. They're like, nope, the borders are open under Democrats. Okay. Well, how did they accomplish that considering it's still the same guys working there? And they didn't, you know, significantly change any policies. And they're trying to feed this thing through, which is very convoluted about this, you know, title, whatever, regarding, well, there was a change in policy. And I'm like, but effectively it didn't change anything. And I'll tell you a headline story from my local area, which, you know, anybody starts talking about border problems, they inevitably, if they are on that side of the equation, will go to the cartels and child trafficking and all that and blah, blah, blah. Got to tell you a funny story from locally. And I mean, I can throw a baseball and hit one of the places I'm about to talk about from where I'm sitting, right? There is a group of guys that apparently just got taken down, and the FBI and the GBI cooperated over the past couple of days with a big raid at multiple locations in Macon, Georgia. And the big raid is, now you're wondering how I'm tying this to, you know, immigration and the border. Hold on. A big raid, and why? Because apparently there was a large meth lab operation in multiple locations. tied through to some legitimate business fronts, etc. And it's one of the biggest locations where there was a house and a business tied to it is, yeah, throw a baseball, I can hit it from where I'm sitting. The house and the one house anyway, and one of the business fronts. Anyways, apparently there was a big meth thing. It was a bunch of guys from Mexico and Guatemala that are, you know, probably, and you know, they haven't definitively declared any of this yet. And the GBI is always very tight-lipped about these things. But in a cooperative thing, a cooperative bust between the GBI and the FBI, they took down this big Mexican cartel-linked meth lab operation, which was probably providing a ton of meth to the state of Georgia and some surrounding states, okay? And it's right in my neighborhood, part of it, okay? It's too funny to me because that is not something that appeared under, you know, since the Biden administration, you know, the cartel's got a free run here. I'm going to tell you that when they do reveal the details of that investigation, they're going to find that actually there was a big allowance of illegal immigrants that came in that are part of this massive operation that arrived here in 2017, 18, 19. Okay. And have been operating and doing a booming business ever since. Tell me something, Joe.
Well, I can tell you that I know some folks right here in my little hollering ridge that go to your neck of woods to bring meth back into this state.
Yeah. Right. Cause it's here. Anyway, the funny thing is, who was president in 17, 18, and 19, Joe?
it was Q himself, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, you know, it seems to me as though there was a huge amount of people that came in, and also, our governor that just got, you know, reselected, Kemp here, and I don't know if Abrams is going to cry foul again about the selection, but I'm telling you, I will support every single stolen election theory for the past 10 years if Stacey Abrams wins a governor race in Georgia, which she did not. But, you know, Kemp, who was reselected, you know, one of his big things was actually saying, I'm going to get in my truck with my shotgun and go chase down immigrants. He didn't do so good of a job of that. You know, finally the GBI and the FBI got and took down this ring. They actually didn't find anything of significance in the place right next to my house, pretty much. Cause, you know, somebody, obviously got a heads up and was smart enough to get it out of there, but they did find stuff elsewhere in a series of connected properties in this, area of Georgia, let's say. Okay. So it's funny stuff to me that I literally have been able to witness these things thriving that these people talk about in theory exactly during the time that Trump was supposedly closing down the borders and doing the right thing. It thrived. And you know what? It continues to thrive. My ultimate point is that, if they wanted to solve the problem at the border, they might have been able to figure out how to do that over the past 40 years that I've heard people talk about it. And if this was something that was significantly being dealt with during Trump's administration, you might have noticed it if you were actually objectively paying attention to what's happening. But none of that is true. This is something that continues to be, no matter who is allegedly in charge.
So, and you know what that's exactly like? That's like, think about Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
If the guy in the big bird suit goes out and starts raping and murdering, are you going to arrest and try the big bird suit?
Well, you know, when the guy who played Elmo got in trouble, I think they did not arrest the puppet.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right. Why do you think these criminals in government don't go to jail?
Right. See, but that's my other point is on the other side of the equation. Trump is getting ready to be indicted. Trump is going to be in trouble. I wonder if he'll be, he's going to run for president just to try and avoid being prosecuted. And I'm like, okay, so they'll probably put him in the prison next to the, they'll put him in prison next to the last ex-president who went to prison, right? Who's that? Oh, wait a minute. There are none. So this always cracks me up. So I ask you what, you know, I mean, people tell me about the imagined difference. Oh, when Trump was there, this was different, that was different. You know, the border wasn't as open. There wasn't as much child trafficking. There wasn't as much drugs. You know, the economy ran better. Well, the economy was running a little better. I'll grant you that. But,
but you can't credit him for it.
That's the problem. Can you actually credit him for it? And if so, what is your main complaint about this? Well, Biden, he wrote all those checks, you know, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Trump wrote the first checks in this series of COVID relief, didn't he? I'll pay no attention to that. I love it. It's like, look, man, the system is what it is, and they put different clowns at the front of the circus. But truthfully, the circus is still the circus, man. You know,
that's right. And if you want to win, don't play. I mean, it reminds me of an old quote that most people attribute to Mark Twain, but I cannot confirm that it actually came from Mark Twain myself. Hmm. If voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it.
Yeah. It might have been Joseph Stalin who said it, but either way, it's still a truth. Oh man, I don't know what to do with myself sometimes with this, where it's like, well yeah, but at least with that guy, it did this, and I'm like, how is it different? You get different waves of things that come and go, and yes, some people take credit for things whether they deserve it or not, and other people get blamed for things whether they deserve it or not, but at the end of the day, isn't it the totality of the system that continues to perpetuate the cycle? That booms and busts, comes and goes, inflation rises, inflation falls. It doesn't matter because nobody ever looks at what is actually consistently in control. Because yeah, it's not a matter of who.
We're always complaining. Yeah, that's right. And they're always complaining the system's broken, the system's broken. Well, you're participating in it. It's your belief that in it and your ballot that keeps it alive. Come on. You're the heartbeat of the system that you're griping about. Folks, mm-hmm. Take your ball and go home.
Well, I love a lot of my old friends who would just, you know, constantly say, well, just vote harder. It'll be okay. Vote harder.
Yeah, that's what FaZe just said. Vote hard. Vote very, very hard if you still play along with the canard.
Oh, I didn't see that. You know, I'm not looking at the chat room, but it makes sense. FaZe knows where we're going.
It does.
Hey, what about that? Are you thinking about doing the squirrel show with FaZe Shifter or what?
Hey, there's a lot to be said about those little creatures. Even I was looking up Norse mythology on the squirrel. Have you ever heard of Ratatoskr?
Can't say that one comes to my mind. I don't recall it. Tell me about it.
Well, okay, in Norse mythology, there's the world tree called Yggdrasil. It's a large ash, right?
Yes, I know. I know about that.
There's an eagle at the top. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's an eagle at the top and a snake under one of the three roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ratatoskr was a squirrel. I think Ratatoskr translates into drill tooth or boar tooth.
Uh-huh.
And it was his whole life's mission to stir up trouble between the snake at the bottom and the eagles at the top.
Huh.
Yeah, so, and for nothing more than just his own mischief, just to please himself. And I just thought that was a really cool mythos on the squirrel.
That is really interesting.
The squirrel that we're caring for, is he's just a big baby, but there's so much to be said about him. That's a whole other show.
So the squirrel in North mythology is effectively the grand provocateur who just keeps...
Yeah, he's Roger Stone.
Nice. Wow. I wonder how FaZe Shifter feels about that. All squirrels are now Roger Stone. Anyway, yeah, I'll just leave you with that thought. Joe, we're actually at the time when I should go ahead and take a break and go grab our friend Captain Trips. You want to stick around?
Sure, I'll stick around. I'm going to go find a cigarette because I have run out of my own, so I'm going to go have to get one of my wife's that are about three times as strong as the ones I smoke.
Excellent. Well, look, you go find your strong cigarette, and maybe I'll grab one, too, although I am running out of them. And by the way, that does mean that at all times I'm willing to take cigarette money at Ocelli.com if you click the donate button, because I'm not quitting smoking. I'll tell you that. My stress level is ultra high, whether it sounds like it or not, guys. But in the next hour, maybe we'll relax a little with Captain Trips, who is going to step in for Joe Flatley, who couldn't make it. And I got regular Joe with me. Plus, open phone lines, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. And you, too, can be heard on this Wednesday night Ocelli Effect. Stick around. We'll be back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Revelation through conversation.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. That's what oils rule.
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
The second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Wednesday, and things are timing out strange, but to hell with it, it is what it is. And the two planned guests, no shows. One had a family emergency, and the other, I'm not sure what happened, but here we are. And I ended up with two guys that I hadn't heard from in a bit, actually, until recently, who were regular contributors to the show before, but we're just having an unscripted little chat, and you guys get a podcast out of it. That's it. And I almost didn't do a show at all tonight. It just could have been, you know, never mind. But let's do this, and I'll drop this along with all the other podcasts that have been backed up a little bit for the past almost a week now because of various things that have come up. And hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Plus, I got to get back to recording the audiobook some more. I got some chapters to get out this month. And we're going to continue that till the end of the year, so that's a thing still. Anyway, regular Joe is stuck around, and we have Captain Tribbs with us, so who knows where we're going to go from here. Could be about the squirrels.
You're going to be shocked. Okay. You're going to be shocked. I've been waiting to get you on the phone.
Uh-oh. All right? Okay.
I'm going to make a statement, and as soon as you hear the statement, you're going to know why I'm making this statement to you. Mm. It'll be plainly obvious. But I want your opinion.
Uh-oh. Joe, we need to...
It's kind of a professional opinion, and you'll hear why in a second.
Ah. Okay, so Joe, you and I need to sit back and absolutely give the floor completely unmolested to Captain Tripps.
It's just a few word sentence.
Okay. Go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
British intelligence killed JFK.
Hmm. Okay.
Now you see why I'm. Now I'm not saying I know that or I believe that for sure, but I'm just starting to wonder. Just, you know, some other research that I've been exposed to and dipping into over the last few months.
Hmm.
Has that avenue ever been explored?
It has been explored in conjunction with a cooperation with French intelligence. Yeah, that has been explored. Let's see, the name Paris LeMond comes to mind. He did quite a bit of work on this theory in the, is it the early 80s? In the early 80s, okay. I believe. And it's actually got some teeth. So
I was going to ask you if it was compelling at all.
Yeah, it is somewhat compelling. It falls apart at a certain point, which most things do. But there are some points of interest, and this would involve a motive that is partially due to Jackie's involvement with the Kennedy family. And yeah, her whole thing, of course, Bouvier being her maiden name,
yeah,
and all that, you know, she has some interesting links. And the Kennedys and Jackie directly were very friendly and had some odd relationships with French and British intelligence that could have gone south on them. There is something to that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just wondering. Like I said, I've been looking into a lot of the Anglo-American spin, mm-hmm, on things, you know, going back to the, you know, Cecil Rhodes, and it just, I mean, I haven't gotten deep into it yet, but as I was thinking about all that, and then I'm right now I'm actually reading Whitney Webb's new book, which,
okay,
that's an interesting one. You want to talk about names? My God, that girl can research. But anyway, another point. Mm-hmm. there was a, she's gotten to the point where she's talking about the Kennedy brothers and their ties into organized crime and you know the Bobby Kennedy and his feud with Hoover and everything. But she was talking about Corbali and Roy Cohn, of course, features heavily throughout this book. But it just dawned on it hit me that that Kennedy, one, being Irish, two, being Catholic, and three, he didn't seem to be really as into the empire building as the British were.
Right.
It just made me wonder, could that have been, or could they have had some involvement in it?
Well, you know where it gets really strange is that provably we know that French intelligence actively attempted to bolster the conspiracy theory for years that the Secret Service was responsible directly for the assassination.
Really? So they were the ones putting that one out. Interesting.
They backed it heavily, and we know for a fact that French intelligence paid money even.
Hmm.
And literally published a book. We're directly involved in making sure that a book, I think it was called The Enemy Within, was available, in America. And they very actively pushed the idea and even might have helped support the various Secret Service theories over the years. Everything from the guy in the follow-up car accidentally shot him to... Mm-hmm. The whole Bill Cooper thing, you know, the driver shot him.
Right.
And all that. I mean, they backed those theories as well, but they did a whole thing about how the Secret Service conspired to either allow him to be killed or to kill him.
That's wild that it was them pushing that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, I don't put any weight on any of the Secret Service theories. The only Secret Service, thing that to me is historically relevant and is true is that, they were actually hung over that day. The team that was on him was hung over that day really bad. And, they had been drinking at a place called the Underground until about 7 a.m. At a topless, club, with a lot of booze. And, they had literally, allowed the firemen in Fort Worth to guard the hotel while they went out drinking. And even Clint Hill was hungover really bad. We found out about that, and that used to be the stuff of, you know, that's wild conspiracy theory craziness,
right.
But we actually have proof about it now, and it's absolutely certain that what I just said is absolutely true. So...
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Them being inept, them being drunk, them being not on point, not on their game in Dallas is true. As for, they took the top down and all, there's a lot of controversy about all that stuff. And, you know, well, the president said he didn't want people riding on the back of the limo. The president does not dictate his protection. That is something that didn't exist then and doesn't exist now. Okay. So,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's just wrong. But, the idea that Kennedy basically got himself killed was another thing. You know, he told the Secret Service he didn't want this and he didn't want the bubble top and he wanted to make sure people could see him. And it's really his fault, you know, that he was exposed. Not really true. but also the Secret Service by their own, lack of professionalism, being drunk, being, you know, there's a reason why Clint Hill climbed into a bottle for about 20 years and felt terrible because his job, which was only to protect Jackie, that was his assignment. He attempted to do his job, but you take a look at the rest of those guys and you're looking at why don't they move? Why don't they do this? Because they're hungover real bad. And possibly some of them still a little drunk because it's only, 5 hours after they were drinking at the Underground that, Kennedy catches his first bullet. So, you know, just saying.
Doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, to say that they were actively, like, trying to get him killed or, you know, well, William Greer actually did this on purpose. And, yeah, I don't think so. I think you if you just put into context that, you know, they were definitely affected by heavy drinking the night before the morning of, then you can really start to see their actions, their activities in a different light. And there's a lot of people that don't want to admit to that, but we still know even up into Obama's time, because I want people to take note, there wasn't a lot of news regarding the Secret Service having to protect Donald Trump. But they did a few times have incidents with Obama, and quite frankly, during the Obama administration, there were Secret Service people disciplined for drinking and stuff like this. It has been a very closed network, and
there wasn't a big prostitution scandal. It was in, I think the Dominican Republic or Colombia or somewhere. It was during the Obama second Obama administration.
That's all true, and they people have been disciplined and fired, and they've tried to keep it quiet and this and that. But the Secret Service, is partying too much, having hookers, and. I tend to believe all of that because I don't know. It just seems to me as though, now it's strange, because it seems to me as though we didn't have so many controversies when Trump was in office. And we haven't heard a lot about, you know, attempts on Biden or anything, have we?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I'm just saying, I don't know, you know, because, and there were people swearing to me that Trump was going to be assassinated and all these other things, and I see no evidence of it. Yeah. I see no evidence of, you know, any of that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, and it. I mean, it didn't. I know there were a few incidents with Obama, but it didn't seem like that was all that. It didn't sound like it was anything too serious.
Well, no. To the contrary, there were many attempts with Obama, actually. And some of them got pretty far. Yeah, there was a couple of times. I mean, somebody actually got into the residence with an AR at one point. And there were other breaches of security that occurred during Obama's time where people got close, actually. And there's a bunch of them. But honestly, I mean, and I'm not saying that a lot of that could not be hidden from public view right now. And it could be that we don't know about it, you know, for different reasons. But it seems to me as though no very serious, operationally efficient attempts have been made on the president, in Trump or Biden's time. Nobody's really taken a good whack at it. It looks like to me so far. I mean, but that's, again, what is publicly observable and what is kept private, we don't know. But, it is an interesting thing to look at. And again, a lot of,
it also makes you wonder if they're well aware of the copycat effect, and they don't want copycats.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Whereas they tend to want copycats when other things go off in this country, but that's a whole other story.
Right?
That's
that's
why you don't hear about many.
Yeah. Did you guys just hear a hell of an explosion that was just outside of my house? There's a boom that preceded the dog barking. A hell of an explosion just somewhere out there. Shook my house just now. I don't know what that was. All right. Anyway, maybe it's the meth lab blowing up down the street.
We had a sonic boom a couple of days ago. One of their experimental space planes made its return to somewhere in Florida. I don't know if it landed at the Cape or it landed somewhere else.
Well, in Florida, you have that kind of stuff happening, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, there was a boom just outside of my house, like a definitely an explosion. Not a sonic boom overhead or anything. There was an explosion somewhere near my house. So Kim just, that's what I was just saying, is I'm thinking maybe it's one of those meth labs nearby. They're destroying the evidence due to that bust. Could be. I don't know, but it shook my house. It was close enough. I don't know. Gonna have to go check that out. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to, be distracted there, but all of a sudden there's a boom and your house shakes. You know, you.
I think it's a justifiable distraction.
Fair enough. So apparently, I got a caller on the line, and we haven't let regular Joe talk, but I find it interesting that you led off with a JFK discussion here. There's going to be quite a few of those. By the way, tomorrow night, Mike Swanson, Larry Hancock, and Carmine Savastano will all be on the show. So,
great.
We're going to talk about what's going on at Lancer, and they got a little surprise announcement about a live event that's going to occur on the virtual conference this year. But again, I am planning to go there in 2023 to Texas. So apparently, B. Pete wants to go, and maybe we'll arrange a road trip with other people. Get in contact with me, and let's do an Ocelli storming of the JFK conferences for the 60th anniversary.
When in 2023? When is it?
It's usually right around the weekend closest to the assassination when they schedule it. But since,
it's in November.
Yeah. So it's going to be
a year from now.
A November event a year from now. That's why I'm letting people know now. And yeah. I definitely want to go, and apparently there's others that want to join me, so let's all go there.
I think that would be interesting. I think I can get away for a couple of days.
Cool. It might be a road trip, by the way. So, you know what? If you come up and meet me here, maybe B. Pete will come down from North Carolina. We can meet in Georgia and start the trek over to Texas and maybe stop along the way, see some other people. What do you think?
Could do that. Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah. That makes. Can we grab that old Kentucky bumpkin?
I don't know.
Oh no. No road trips for me, man.
Joe immediately out of the gate says no. So look, we do have a caller. I'm going to take the call. And of course you can join the live listener out there. 319-527-5016 if you want to. We could talk JFK. We could talk some other stuff. Whatever's on your mind is fine. And, we only got a little bit more of the Wednesday night show left anyway. So let's get her done. And caller, you're live.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I wanted to back up, Chuck, what you were saying about how the French intelligence put a whole bunch of money into the JFK assassination aftermath with their book Farewell America under the pseudonym James Hepburn.
That's one of their biggest projects that they put a lot of money into, correct?
And there's also rumors, and I'm not sure if you can clear this up, that the George Hickey Secret Service follow-up car with the... He had the machine gun. They said that he accidentally did that. Did you tell me before that that photo that was used for the book wasn't even Dealey Plaza that day? Is that true?
I did not tell you that. I'm sure I didn't. Because there's a lot of questions about the photos they used for that book.
Now, you know the famous photo of George Hickey sitting on the thing holding the machine gun. That wasn't you that told me that wasn't even Dealey Plaza?
No, I would have told you that the timing of that photo, one of the photos that they used to make that point is wrong, because they say that that's him standing up, you know, before the shots were fired and all that. That actually happened further on down the road, and you can see part of it in Jack Daniel's film. So you can actually see where that still, you can match up that still to a part of Jack Daniel's film. It's further down the freeway. That I know for certain.
Okay, I got that mixed up then. Okay, but was it also possible that the French intelligence had something to do with putting out that book as well?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's what I was saying, is that they backed a whole bunch of theories. No, but that's the thing, is they backed a whole bunch of the Secret Service's responsible theories. That Farewell America book was something they put a lot of money and effort into. But they backed a whole bunch of this stuff. Even after the lawsuit that Hickey had against the author of what is it, Mortal Error, the book Mortal Error. Even after that lawsuit that Hickey won, that he was defamed in that book, and that they had inaccurately identified him as the assassin of John F. Kennedy, and all that, right. Even after that lawsuit, there was money put into it, and, you know, funny enough, a British TV company put money into putting that theory out once again, even after the lawsuit. They tried to revive it. And again, it's kind of disappeared.
Is there any legal action towards them for making such an attempt?
I don't know if it ever went to court, but there was filings, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go again. But these people had money to pay lawyers and everything else, and all of a sudden a British TV outfit that had no money had enough money to fund flying around the authors and the new guy who went back and explored the evidence and, you know, new research was done and all that. Around the 50th anniversary, they tried to revive that. So that's what they did. They tried to get in on it, and it wasn't very successful because it's a ludicrous theory. He wasn't shot in the back of the head with an AR. He just wasn't.
Right.
So, you know, that's all there is to it. But they tried to back it.
Just out of curiosity, I don't want to take up the whole thing, but what do you think, why the French intelligence would go to such lengths for that? Just some kind of vendetta against the... our Secret Service, or
I don't know what the motive is. There's a lot of, I mean, what people say is that this ties back to Jackie's family relationship with French intelligence, and you know, grudges that are against her personally,
like Charles de Gaulle and everything.
Yeah, like the thing with de Gaulle and all that. Which de Gaulle, there was an attempt on de Gaulle the same year.
Yeah,
you know, as Kennedy was killed. In which case there are people that posit that French intelligence participated in that as well, that they tried to off their own leader in France.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they floated the whole Secret Service as responsible.
And then, of course, there was also the French gunman on the grassy knoll. That was a theory, too, for a long time.
Yeah, but that was Steve Rebell. Very honestly pursued that, and there were some gangsters from Marseille that were trying to cut plea deals, and they thought that would be a great piece of leverage. That Christian David character and a few others were trying to cut some deals with heroin trafficking because they were never going to see the light of day out of a French prison with the amount of heroin trafficking they were busted for. So they tried to leverage you know, a bunch of things, lawyers, and you know, possibly you can release me if I reveal to you the truth about the Kennedy assassination, this kind of stuff. They tried to secure all kinds. And the journalist Steve Rebell, he was honestly after it thinking that he had found something, and quite frankly, I was convinced briefly that that it was possible. You know, I've admitted that before sometime in the 90s.
Did you speak to Rebell, by the way?
A long time ago, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I want to say 99, maybe I spoke to him. Somewhere in there. And he felt, you know, he felt as though he was duped. He was taken advantage of personally and withdrew from all the JFK stuff.
So you feel like
that.
He was legitimate in what he was trying to find?
Yeah, I do. I feel
some
as though.
Some of these guys are questionable.
Yeah, I think that his motives were about, wow, I found something very different, and some of the evidence looked good. As I said, I even thought that it was possible at one point that it was true. Until I examined the whole... See, that's the thing, is I actually helped with that by examining the part of the theory where they said the Italian mafia in America had assisted in bringing in the French gunman through... Let's call it a little transportation line that they had arranged for many years for many people to be able to move in and out of the United States through Canada that is not generally noticed. So I examined that directly and the people that would have been responsible for that and knew who ran it at the time that I went to go question it. And knew about the history of it. And, quite frankly, it doesn't line up. The reality of the situation doesn't line up with what they said.
You're able to cancel out the theory on your own anyway.
Yeah. So that's what happened is the part of the theory where they brought him in through this. We know all this for a fact. Well, if your fact there is no good, and then you also have, one of the guys we can verify could not have been in Dallas that day, that's supposed to be one of the three, and then you come to find out that you know, the big informant also recanted his story after a bit, saying that, you know, basically, again, this was guys that were up against, you know, 100 years in a French prison.
They say they murdered Jesus if they had to. Basically.
They were trying a bunch of different things, and one of the things that got them a little bit of traction was the JFK. Well, you know, we actually know who murdered JFK, and it's us. It's the Marseille gangsters. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because that was an aspect of the assassination I was always curious about.
Yeah. And it's directly tied to your French connection type stuff. You know, I mean, the big heroin ring that came out of there, which was cooperative with the Sicilian mafia and worked with the poppy fields in Turkey and the ones that still existed in Afghanistan, despite the Taliban's best efforts. That's where they were getting the stuff from. And also, you know, and it would end up in France. Yeah, your Northern Alliance people and all that. Those guys were, you know, supplying what would eventually end up in Marseille in France. And was, you know, not for American distribution, but for European distribution mostly. That's who basically supplied heroin to Europe for 30 years straight about. There's your primary supplier. Is those guys. So
well, that's one way to muddy the waters of stuff, at
least. Yeah, well, and there's been various efforts to muddy the waters that, you know, it turns out that somebody magically shows up who might have ties to different intelligence agencies will show up and fund just because, you know. And French intelligence various times. And that Farewell America thing is the most glaring example of it. But there's a bunch of stuff where... Again, there was a book called Enemy Within, I think.
I looked that up, and they actually said it was written by Bobby Kennedy. Is that true?
Oh, Enemy Within?
Yeah, if you look at Wikipedia, Enemy Within, after you mention that, it says the author is Robert Kennedy.
No, yeah, that's a different book. This is an independent press book that was released on the Kennedy assassination. Which Bobby Kennedy did
not. French intelligence one too.
Yeah, but
okay. All right.
It's like, you know, and Paris Flamand and all those other guys. They got you know, magically money showed up, and it was, you know, the cash was all French. So, you know, just saying.
Yeah, and like the researcher William Raymond talking to Jim Mars about another Zapruder film and all that back in the day too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all that. And don't forget, too, where is that other Zapruder film supposed to be? In France, right? So, you know.
Yeah, supposedly shown to William Lane like you just said.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, now that I've bored everybody to death, here we go. Joe.
Sorry, I have that effect.
No, it's okay. Joe, are you still awake?
I'm still here, buddy. I've got to object to two terms that you guys have been using over and over.
Sorry, go ahead.
British intelligence and French intelligence.
Okay, well.
Touché.
It just can't be true. Those places are full of humans, man.
I concede your point, Joe. I concede. I have no defense.
That's an oxymoron, from what I understand.
Yeah, but
fair enough.
But you know what? Don't come on, man. You know what? I don't call you names. Come on. It is what it is. I know. I know what he meant. Don't anybody correct me. I'm just goofing around. Anyways, is there anything else on your mind tonight, Captain Trips? Now that you've spurred a 30-minute. Dive into the Kennedy assassination, and
I didn't even anticipate doing that. It just popped into my head, and I thought I had been meaning to ask you your opinion on that.
Right. Well, and it's fascinating too, because the idea is, the first thing you said is British intelligence. Again, apologies for the term, Joe, but I mean,
sure. They
are cooperating with French intelligence all the time. They always have. You know, ever since the modern agencies were established, they were cooperating with each other. So one being with, it's almost like, you know, if the CIA is operational in the Middle East, there's going to be Mossad guys nearby. it just goes along with it.
They're an ISI.
You know, yeah. it's a guarantee. Well, ISI, yeah, if you're in India or Pakistan, absolutely. But either way, guaranteed, even if you're working with the ISI, there's Mossad guys nearby. Okay. Yeah. It's just, it comes along with it. It's, you know, it's burger and fries. You know, if you have a burger.
They like to dance a lot, Chuck. Let's not forget that.
Well, there's always that, you know, and I'm supposed to be a secret Jew like Christopher Columbus. But the thing is, I know.
I'm back to the old George Carlin. It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
That's true.
In it.
You ain't in it.
That's true. And we'll hear that George Carlin clip tomorrow when Jack Blood airs live again, I think. So, you know, because that's part of his intro, is it's a big club, and you ain't in it.
Well, I just want to, can I give you a little scoop, Chuck? I think you're going to have Mr. George Carlin's offspring on this very network sooner than later, to be honest.
Oh, yeah? That would be good. Although, I did tell you about this Sunday, right?
Yeah, that conference trumps anything, my goofy stuff. So, yeah, no, I totally understand that, and I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah, well, what I may try to do is simulcast live, because they're going to do a live panel where people can ask questions at Lancer for people that attend the virtual conference on Sunday. So it may run right against your time, and I should be done by the time Aaron's show airs on Sunday. But unfortunately, yeah, I may have to preempt Get Mad with Chris Graves this week. But if I do...
No, I don't even want to do a show now. I actually just want to hear what you guys come up with at that conference, because it's very important still, in my opinion.
Excellent. Well, you know what? Then I will definitely simulcast what I can, the audio portion of it, here on Ocelli.com, and you guys will hear that instead of Get Mad with Chris Graves. Fair enough?
Fair enough, and yeah, look forward to it. How long does that actually, like, when does it actually start? You know all, like, the details right now?
The exact time of start I have not been given, but I'm just going to get a Zoom link that day and show up. But I believe it'll start before your showtime. But as soon as I know, I'll put it in the chat room at Ocelli.com, or I'll tweet it out and let people know. And obviously, if you go to the Facebook page for the Lancer conference, they're going to have to announce it and tell people to go there and join. So whether you're attending the conference or not, you'll know what time it starts. But I think in order to be in on the video feed, you actually have to be attending the conference. So, and I have no idea what the video is going to be like.
With that Lancer conference, have you been there personally before? Because I'm not privy to that, and I'm really kind of interested in your history with the whole thing.
Yeah, well, they've been doing it 20-some years, the Lancer conference. So I attended in person only once in 2017. That's the only time.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took
that long ago?
Yeah, that was 2017. I took the week off, and I went there. And
yeah, I remember that as well, but man.
Yeah, which
time's flying.
Yeah, which I needed, because I took a Greyhound for almost 24 hours on a Greyhound to get there and 24 hours back.
I remember that too. Yeah, if I'm involved in this,
you videotaped
next
month, it, right?
It's not going to be a Greyhound.
Like, oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't videotape the whole thing, but I did turn it into that little documentary, Ocelli on the Grassy Knoll.
That's what I meant, yeah, where you actually, like, toured Dealey Plaza, and you were supposed to be...
Yeah, Chris, your phone went sideways there for a second, but yeah, I videotaped some stuff with, actually, Mike Swanson filmed part of it, too, because he was with me on the overpass and stuff like that, and we're looking down at Dealey Plaza.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. And there was also clips from the conference.
You were supposed to meet with a bunch of crucial witnesses, right? Or am I speaking out of school?
No, not that trip to Dallas. No, it was a different trip to Dallas. I met with a couple. I made three trips to Dallas in my life, but I've only been to a conference once. The other times I went there and I met with, there was a week I spent there meeting with Dallas police, former DPD members, and also met with Henry Wade and a couple other witnesses. And then there was another time I went there to assist somebody to videotape stuff, and I wound up meeting with some people too. So I've been to.
And there was a witness that I can't remember, and maybe it's not my place to say, but they kind of did you wrong at the end, right? Do I remember that correctly at least?
Well, did me wrong. One of the Dallas cops pulled a gun on me. so.
That's a story, but I meant like they meant to like pay for you to get there and things, and then they ended up leaving you holding the bag, that kind of thing.
No. Somebody, okay. I'm not going to say who, but an author of a book who had been on the show agreed to pick me up from the bus station when I got there, and then I tried calling them, and they didn't answer my calls, and they've never answered a call from me again. They were supposed to meet with me.
Yeah, that
and,
was what I was thinking, but you had Dallas police pull a gun on you. I've never heard that one before.
Well, it was a former DPD guy, an old man at his house. I got on his porch and he came out with, he came out with a rifle raised, to about the level of my head. that's how he greeted me at the door. Yeah.
Wow.
That was one.
All right, I don't mean to trigger anything. So to speak.
No, it's no big deal. Not the first time I had a gun in my face, my friend. Not a big deal. Just kind of shocking to the people that were with me who went all jumping off the porch and running away. But for me, I was kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, what?
Yeah, like par for the course, right?
sort of. Look, he was a little hostile. He was sort of sick of guys like us showing up to talk to him. I get it. And, you know, he put it down after a little bit. so it was all right. But for
Wait,
a quick second there.
Did he talk to you?
Yeah, he did afterwards. Not much. Very hostile. But he did, you know, he eventually put the rifle down and talked to me, yeah.
I'm surprised. Oh, okay. Well,
well, you know,
if he greeted you that way, he wasn't that interested in talking.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I was a bit surprised myself because I had called him. I didn't just show up on his doorstep. I had called him and told him I was coming. And
well, that changes everything. And he's in the wrong for that, then.
But then again, if you consider looking at me, you know, what do I look like showing up there? Tattoos, long hair and all that, in the 90s. Hey, how you doing? Jersey accent. And I'm in Texas. So, you know, I wasn't mad about it. I was just a little stunned, honestly. But I did think for a second there he was serious about shooting me. But
did you really think you were done for in that moment?
A couple seconds there, maybe. You know. But again, not the first time that ever happened to me. I got to think, though, that might have been one of the last times it happened to me. But that was definitely not the first, so. You know.
Well, I mean, I can't really identify except a similar thing at a Pizza Hut buffet.
Yeah, you and that Pizza Hut buffet do not sound like a good scene. I don't know why, but you bring it up, and I go, okay. It's always at a weird time.
It was a match made in hell.
Nice. Sounds like my first wife. Anyways.
Sounds like a chapter in your book that you gotta do soon, Chuck. That needs to be told.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to me being a musician yet in the book, so, you know, we're getting there soon, though. Anyway, yeah, I do have a few chapters got to get out this month, and I will before the end of the month. I'm just taking care of the JFK stuff first. So in the last week, you guys will be getting those chapters if you're signed up for them. And that's the way that is, and if you're not, you know, so far we've had 6 chapters and an introduction and a bonus piece, so you missed out a little bit. Anyways, back to the discussion. at hand. Joe, anything on your mind that we've been missing out on throughout these interesting anecdotes and unscripted stuff? Anything you want to get to before we wind up closing out the show?
Well, I'd like to give honorable mention to the captain who is with us and to you, because the captain and I have actually become pretty good friends through your show.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad a couple of friendships have been forged. Not so many with me, but sometimes other people make friends. And I appreciate all that.
Hey. I resent that.
I kind of do too, man. We were friends of the show first. We became friends through being friends of the show.
I don't know. You sure changed my life, Chuck. So there you go.
Well, let's keep on doing that. You know what? If you were happy with the way things were before you got here, then I don't know how you got here, right? It seems like we all get disenchanted at a certain point, and why not choose to shape our own destinies from this point on? So go for it, always. And yeah, Captain Trips is a friend of mine, and Joe is, and so is Chris, and I feel like a lot of you are. You know,
can I interject here?
Nature Boy jumping in, another friend of mine who's been to my house, actually, unlike everybody else on the call. Yeah, Nature Boy.
Are you allowed to talk to me, Nature Boy?
Of course, you're my friend. I was just going to come out.
I thought Chairman Newsom passed a law that, you know, if you're a resident or citizen of California, you couldn't dare talk to someone in the state of Florida.
Well, he can't yank your fucking license, so what the hell does that matter? Sorry about my language, but we're not AM FM anymore, so it doesn't matter to me.
No more AM and FM, so.
It's very weird, especially when you're DoorDash and then Uber eating.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Dude, you're down in Southern California, aren't you, Chris? Like the Hollywood area?
Well, he was. Now he's out in the Ozarks.
I'm trying to make my way back there, but I might make a detour in Georgia if certain individuals are serious, you know?
I told you my door's open, man.
Yeah.
So,
if you don't mind meth labs blowing up occasionally, it's a cool place to hang out.
Not on my property, though. You know.
No, not on your property. You got a good
Oh, I survived the Pizza Hut buffet in Woonsocket, Rhode Island blowing up. So, yeah, I can survive anything.
This guy with the Pizza Hut. They, you know what? They need to pay you. All right? You keep mentioning them.
It's like Carl's Jr. It's like Idiocracy. When they went in and went to the White House the first time, the one guy that consists, every time he speaks, it's like, brought to you by Carl's Jr. And he asked him, he's like, why do you say that when you finish it? And he's like, could they pay me, stupid?
And I just want to say this. Can I say this, Nature Boy? Like, I just want to thank you. I think you know for what. And I very much appreciate it. Same with Chuck. Thank
Yes. Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. It's my pleasure, man.
Anyways, you wanted to interject something else there, Nature Boy, and I think you got sidetracked with everybody throwing their commentary at you.
That was my fault. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that through the show, I too have made friends. I've made friends with you, Jeff. I've made friends with you, Chuck. I'm starting to get to know you, Joe, which I'm looking forward to hearing more of you, and Chris. Man, you are just the most amazing researcher, bro. Oh, by the way, I'm trying to reach out to a female version of you. I forgot her name because I don't have my notes in front of me, but I saw an interview the other day with her, and the only thing that kept popping in my mind, I'm like, holy crap, this woman is a female version of Chris. So I'm going to try to reach out.
Oh. Do you have her name, number, her, is she single? Like, I need to know these.
You know, all I got this,
to wake up in the morning.
All I got to say is I'm imagining Chris as a chick and I'm, thinking to myself I might be gay now. So,
I gotta get the tits to boot.
Hey, it's normal now, man. You know, it's not a stigma. So, I mean, you could be gay today and straight tomorrow and bye. 2 hours later, you know, just pick your gender.
It's all fluid.
Don't get me wrong. I just have to get rid of my bustier here.
All right. It's all fluid.
Any man that is now has gay tendencies, right? In the day, they could never explore that, but now it's safe for them to do because they could go out there and they could have a little escapade with Juan, right? And then the minute it's over, say, no, I'm straight. But you just had homosexual.
I was in Hollywood during Halloween in West Hollywood, and yeah, there's a lot of gay fellows, and I was flattered, but yeah, no, I love the females, and I'd love to. I just want to say, meet your boy next year. I hope I can meet you at some point because I'll be back in California. I know that.
Well, so, you ever find
not
you
that it had nothing to do
around
with me being gay or I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I was going to say, you know, if we go from the.
I wouldn't give a rat's ass if you were, whatever. I judge people on who they are, not what they are. So,
there you go.
But, hey, man, there's something we need to remember in all of this. There's nothing wrong with being heterosexual either.
Hey, the way I look at it, if I may be crass, you know, I have two rules with the gay friends I've had in my life, and I have many of them, is, and I make it quite straight, I'm not gay, I never will be gay, so please don't cross that line. Okay, and out of pure respect, don't play tongue hockey with the old man in front of me. I really don't want to see straight people do that. Not just a matter of decency, but
well, I did that once, and I apologize. I'm sorry.
Oh, Chris,
nature boy,
so
you could have quoted me on that. I've said the exact same thing. I don't want to see anybody making out.
No need to. I mean,
and you
affection.
Guys,
affection.
You guys
one thing.
Also reminded me of. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to just shut up because I think you're more interesting than me. Joe, I talk to myself all the time, so take it away.
I do, too. I just watched Neil Brennan's newest Netflix special, and he declared, I'm not gay. I check once a year. He said, I go on the porn, and I click gay porn. I watch it, and I look down, nothing.
You know what?
Me too. That's great.
I haven't done that, but damn, that shit seems to work. That seems to look like a test. If the soldier starts like waking up, then maybe you got some tendencies. But if that sucker's still asleep, you're like, yeah, I'm good, man.
Oh, I'm definitely hetero. I'm toxically hetero.
My. Well,
like Robert De Niro in Awakenings. I was in a coma.
Talk about revelation through conversation.
Oh, exactly. Well, hey, you know what would have been perfect if we had Ryan on right now on this conversation. You know? Excuse me, for people, Lady MAGA USA. Well, that would make for some good talk right now, wouldn't it? Revelation through what conversation? Some interesting conversation.
Revelation through conversation.
There you go. Anyway.
Lady MAGA USA.
You haven't been keeping up with the guests, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you some links, Captain.
Okay. The transvestite Trump supporter.
Really interesting cat.
Transvestite Trump supporter who goes out as Lady MAGA USA to raise awareness, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drag artist,
excuse me.
Yeah. On Fox.
On the show.
Twice.
Oh, my God.
We've had him on twice.
Participate in Drag Queen Story?
No, do not call her she. He would get pissed off if you called her she.
Nope, he's a gay
he
man.
He is a man.
He is definitely a man. Okay,
no, he is a gay man.
He is a gay man.
I saw another award title, Chuck.
There you go. See, we got more awards to work out here.
Exactly. He's a gay man who is a drag artist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he, being from the LGB community, he has a different insight onto what's going on with the LGBTQ plus the stuff that's being targeted towards the children. And what he has a unique perspective of what's going on, and he's just like, my God, he's aghast at what's going on. So that's one of his major things,
right,
is to
okay.
bring awareness to what's being targeted at the kids. And,
good for him.
I've had another friend.
I'd love to know his thoughts on Divine, the late, great Divine.
If Divine's a drag artist, Chris, I'll put you in touch with him. In fact, he just started a podcast, so I mean, touch with him.
No, Divine died a while back.
Divine passed away. No, you remember Pink Flamingos, John Waters, all that
John
stuff?
Waters films, and very famously, Divine appeared in that version of Hairspray with Ricky Lake.
I have no clue.
The movie. Anyway.
I know who you're talking about.
Eat the dog poo at the end of Pink Flamingos.
There you go. John Waters. Anyway, Divine is dead quite a while. But Divine was a drag performer as well.
Okay.
But
Dawn Devine was supposed to be Peg Bundy's mother and father on Married with Children in the beginning, and she was also supposed to appear in Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, at the very beginning in the first nightmare sequence as the fat lady next to John Doe in the airplane.
All this stuff I don't even know about, but anyway, we're getting toward the end of our regular airtime, so I want to give everybody a chance to put their final words out there for tonight, which has been a discussion outside of my control mostly.
It's been good radio.
It's been...
Sorry, Chuck.
It's been fluid. How about that? Definitely went a bit strange there toward the end.
Fluid.
Yeah, that was the joke, yeah. Anyway.
Amongst a bunch of straight
men. It's going flat.
Yes, that too. That too. So, I'll give it to the last guest in, or the last voice everybody got to hear in, first to give a final thought. Nature Boy, what do you got to say?
That I'm grateful to be part of the Ocelli community, to have met such good friends, to have seen so many diverse ideas and perspectives over the years. It really helped me in many ways form who I am. And I just want to say thank you all, and to all the listeners out there, please keep listening, share the show, help us grow our audience, and if you can, it's tight times, but go kick Chuck a buck or two on Ocelli.com. It really does mean a lot. So, gentlemen, at that, I'm going to shut my big mouth, and that's what I'm going to do. Good night.
Cool. Let's continue in reverse order and give a final say for Chris. Of course, Chris Graves generally hosting Get Mad with Chris Graves on Sundays here. Apparently, he's got some other podcast projects happening as well, with the new prisoners and all that, but stay tuned. We'll hear about that more in the future. And this Sunday, we're gonna preempt his show so I can do a panel at Lancer, but he'll be back, I assure you, so long as he wants to anyway, with the interesting guests that he brings to Get Mad with Chris Graves. So, Chris, your final thoughts for this Wednesday night.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ocelli, and thank you, Nature Boy, and thank you to the other two callers, Captain Trips, and I can't remember the other name. I'm sorry. I went to a public school in Massachusetts, and I just wanted to say that my upcoming guest, I'm trying really hard right now, is the late, great Lane Staley's mother, Nancy McCollum, and Kelly Carlin, and I'm still working on Kevin Smith, who I used to kind of work for back in the day. And like I said, thank you again, Chuck and Nature Boy, for obvious reasons.
There you go. So, and I just got a hold of a bootleg copy of a Kevin Smith movie that I didn't get to go to the theater and watch, but I'm going to watch it at home. So, I'm going to thank an unknown listener. I'm not going to ascribe it to anybody because I'm sure there's some criminal penalty for passing that along to me. But anyway, thanks, dude. You know who you are. Captain Trips, you're the next one who came in, and we're going to end, obviously, with regular Joe. But your final thoughts for the night, not necessarily about the fluid conversation and all, but whatever. We never really got to a solid topic outside of the JFK thing. So appreciate that, though. That was fun. And this has been fun. So, Captain Trips, what do you got? Is that enough?
Looks like Captain Trips might have dropped. Looks like he might have dropped off, Chuck.
Well, either that or he's talking to his mute button, one or the other. Okay, so without...
I don't see him on my screen anymore.
Well, without Captain Trips, I guess we got to go to regular Joe. Sorry, Joe.
That's okay. Folks, the Ocelli Effect has been good for me. I've met some of the best people that I've ever met in my life by being involved in your show, and I think I've been involved with your show for going on 7 years now.
Wow.
And I'm really glad for it. I'm glad the Ocelli Effect exists. And like Nature Boy said, go put your tip in the bucket, y'all. Keep the Ocelli Effect alive. And find your circle, people. Find your circle and keep them close to you.
There you go. Regular Joe with the regular commentary that I expect from him. I used to love doing the regular guy news stuff, but Joe came around, some years ago, and it's been really interesting, and I'm happy to call everybody my friend who's been on the show, and you guys listening out there who never call in or anything else, I appreciate you as well, because after all, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Wednesday for me is done, and I got a lot of podcasts to release, but we'll keep the thing flowing as long as you keep supporting it, and thank you to those of you that have. Big special shout out, actually, to Patricia, who, you know, has kept me alive almost all by herself sometimes, and thank you, hon. You are also a great friend and supporter, and I don't know what I would have done without you. I'll tell you that. Anyways, again, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I hope you're well. Good night.